So, now coming to Hebrews chapter 8, this is our theme verse for this conference. It's found here. In Hebrews chapter 8, we have the theme verse for our conference. Hebrews chapter 8. And verse 11, the last part of it. All will know me from the least to the greatest of them. In the world, let's see little things we notice here. In the world, they talk about from the greatest to the least. We talk of the president and then all the way down to the little child. It's not like that in God's kingdom. Notice what it says here. Notice little things in the scriptures. In the God's ways, from the least to the greatest. That means God goes to the person who is the smallest. That's why he said that the kingdom of heaven is like a little child. Because a little child is in every way the smallest on earth. And God said that kingdom of heaven is like that. And the more, Jesus said, he told his disciples to become like little children in their spirit. So from the least to the greatest, everyone can know me. Now that itself teaches me that it is not by intellectual study or research that we come to know Jesus. Because a little child can't do intellectual study and research. It's by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. That's why he says, even the least person. So some of you sitting here may think that, well, I'm not such a spiritual person. I'm just newly born again, perhaps. Or you feel that I'm not able to do great things for the Lord. I feel very small in your own eyes. Wonderful. This promise is for you. From the least to the greatest. You can know the Lord personally. You can know the Lord's presence so that you can live in that fullness of joy that I just spoke about. Everyone here, no exception. Start with that faith and pray that the Lord will make it more real to you during this weekend, before you go home. All shall know me, from the least to the greatest. So, let me mention another thing in this connection. We all know the very well-known verse, the probably most well-known verse among Christians, John 3:16. You turn for a moment there, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is a verse taught to many, many Christians as the essence of the gospel. Everything is there. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, identifying Jesus as the Son of God, and he gave him to die on the cross, that if we believe in him, we will not perish in hell, but have eternal life. It looks as if the whole gospel is right in that little verse. But the one thing which I never understood for many, many, many years, I sat in a good Christian church as a young Christian for 16 years, and I never once heard anyone, leader, elder, pastor, preacher, nobody explained to me what eternal life was. I had to discover it myself. Until then, I believed, it's in this verse, you'll have eternal life. And I understood it. I live forever. Eternal life. But then when I studied the scripture, I found people who go to hell also live forever. Jesus told a story of a rich man who didn't care for the poor beggar on the outside his gate. And the rich man died and Jesus said he went to hell. And I don't know how, it was a true story. It's not a parable. I'll tell you why it's not a parable, because Jesus mentioned that the rich man saw Abraham in that parable. It's in the end of Luke 16. And in no parable did Jesus mention names. Here he mentions a name, Abraham, a living person. So that's not a parable then. So that was a true story of a rich man who did not care for that poor beggar Lazarus, It probably happened a few years before Jesus mentioned that story. And Jesus did not mention the name of the rich man because he did not want to embarrass the rich man's relatives. But he mentioned Lazarus' name so that Lazarus' relatives will know that he's in heaven. But the point is, the rich man had been in hell for quite some time. And then Jesus is talking about it. The guy's still in hell. And he's asking Abraham, send Lazarus to give me a bit of water. So people who go to hell are also going to live forever. So if eternal life means living forever, then people who go to hell has got eternal life as well. Now that's so simple when you hear me say that, but I never thought of it when I read this. So eternal life must mean something other than living forever. And how to find out what it is? It took me 16 years to find out, even though I'd read the Bible so many times in those 16 years. It shows how you can read the scriptures and it doesn't hit you. Now I'll show you the verse, and I'm sure almost everybody here has read it, because all of you would have read at least the Gospel of John. So here's the definition of eternal life given by Jesus himself. It is not living forever. For one reason, eternity does not mean without an end. Eternity means without a beginning and without an end. That's the correct definition of eternity. So eternal life does not mean living forever. It means a life that had no beginning and no end. Who's got that life? Only God. No angel. Eternal life is only with God. He's the only one who had no beginning and no end. So now you've got to understood eternal life. Now let me turn you to John chapter 17. Now, we're not just studying theories, it's something very practical. John 17, verse 3. Here is Jesus himself defines eternal life. He says, this is eternal life. What is it? Father, he's praying to the Father in verse 1. Father, that they may know you. Eternal life is to know the Father. And to know Jesus Christ, to know the Father as the only true God. That's the first thing. To know the Father as the only true God. There is no other God. There's no other religion that teaches any way to come to God except through Christ. And eternal life is also to know Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So eternal life has not got nothing to do with length of life. It's got to do with the quality of life, a life that knows God the Father personally and knows Jesus Christ more and more intimately as Savior and friend. So, therefore, eternal life is something we have to grow in. You know, when you get married, let's take the example of a young girl who's married. She doesn't know her husband much in the very first day, but if they live happily together in love, they get to know more and more each other as the years go by. This is how we're supposed to know Jesus. I received Christ into my heart and I was sure of his presence 65 years ago when I was 19 years old. But boy, I know Jesus so intimately today after 65 years. I did not know him like this then. He's an intimate friend of mine. Everywhere I go, if I have a problem, I can tell him immediately. And I hear him speaking to me more clearly now than I did way back then, more clearly than even 10 years ago. Eternal life is something we grow in, knowing Christ more and more and more and more. So, turn with me now to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I love to turn to many passages of Scripture because this is the only book in the whole world that shows us what God is like. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Paul is writing to Timothy. And this is written at a time when Paul was probably about 60 years old, 62 or 63. And Timothy had already been with Paul about 20, 25 years. Timothy was a born-again, spirit-filled Christian when Paul took him as his co-worker, as a young 20-year-old boy. And now, after 25 years, maybe Timothy is around 45 years old, Paul is writing a letter to Timothy. And do you know what Paul tells Timothy? 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith and take hold of eternal life. Have you read that verse? Anyone who's read the New Testament has read that verse. Now, what did you do when you came to that verse? The tragedy with me was in the early days, I did not have anyone to teach me how to read the Bible. I had to learn by myself. The preachers in my church did not know the Lord very much to be able to teach me. I discovered that we have to meditate on the Word of God. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. That doesn't mean he's reading the Bible day and night. No. He may have read the Bible only 15 minutes in the morning. That's it. But he meditates on it, not 24 hours, but throughout the day, whenever he gets an opportunity. That's the meaning of he meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. Meditates means he thinks about it. What does that mean? Holy Spirit of God, show me what it means. So, when you read a verse like this, is Paul telling Timothy to be born again? You must get eternal life. He's already received Christ into his heart. What does it mean by take hold of eternal life? All of you who read 1 Timothy 6, did you ask the Lord to explain that phrase to you? I'm almost sure you did not ask the Lord. You did not meditate on it.